Welcome to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Joyous conversations about what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about our one reality. You have nothing to fear. You are eternal and you are perfectly loved. Knowing the truth changes everything. Now, here's Roberta.
Welcome to Seek Reality. Of course, I'm Roberta Grimes, and I'm thrilled that you're with us today. Thank you for joining us. Last week, we talked about the fact that I'm a dismal failure at meditating, just can't do it. Now, this week, our topic is going to be about something else that I cannot do. I'm being very humble right now. We spend about a third of our lives asleep. It may be the busiest third of our lives. And while our bodies are asleep, actually, our minds will astral travel, meet with our spirit guides, spend time with dead loved ones, take classes, believe it or not, and generally have fun being our genuine selves for a little while outside these temporary and very confining bodies. But all that our waking selves ever know about what our minds are up to at night is that we dream. That's true for most of us, of course, not all of us, but that's all I know about it. And for the most part, our dreams seem to be nothing. Mine are. In fact, I usually don't even remember them. They generally make little sense, even if we remember them when we wake up, and they tend to leave our minds by lunchtime. But there are some dreams that have more impact. Sometimes our spirit guides will give us dreams full of symbols that are messages from them. Sometimes loved ones who have gone on ahead will give us wonderful communication dreams. And we know they're communication dreams between you and me because they stay fresh forever in our minds. I've only had two. I remember every bit of them, even today, more than a decade later than the last one. And then there is the phenomenon called lucid dreaming. I know very little about lucid dreaming, but I've known people who were so deeply into it that they seem to see it almost as a happy hobby. Our guest today is an expert on lucid dreaming. David Lowe is a former religion professor who today does dream work, substance abuse, counseling of all sorts, and meditation instructions. He has studied world religions extensively, and his body, a book on religion, is his 2014 volume called Universal Spiritual Philosophy and Practice, an informal textbook for discerning seekers. It's a wonderful book. I interviewed him about this, I think, about 2 years ago, and he was with us after that to talk about dream work. His passion is helping people to tune in to more profound dimensions of their own spirituality, and we are all unique people, so actually, I think we have to accept the fact that each of us has a unique path to getting there spiritually, which is why what the work he's doing is so important. But he and I think a lot alike. David, I am delighted you're joining us today, and I'm thrilled that we get to have a chance to talk about something that actually is, again, something I know nothing about. I actually, between you and me, everyone, I learn more than you do in many of these interviews. So welcome, David. I'm delighted that you're here.
Well, thank you so much, Roberta. I will say that I'm doing an interview with you is cooler than average as a radio So that is wonderful to be here. Thank you so much.
Dear David, you're the first person in my life who's ever called me cool. So I will hold that in my heart, just between you and me.
Okay.
So tell us a little about your background, because you've been a spiritual seeker more than most people have been, and even then a religion teacher. Tell us about your background.
I was adjunct professor 10 years, drug counselor 7 years, full-time seeker 6 years, India, ashrams, the whole bit, yoga, meditation 40 years, going down more than one blind alley, my own issues with hyperactivity, social issues in college, but I pretty much got over those. So yeah, I've been through a lot, and I've had a lot of powerful opening enlightenment experiences. Not the final one, but I've pretty much gone pretty far on the spiritual path so far, maybe not. But dreaming has, been involuntarily. I've done more dreams than average in terms. I seem to have the internal disposition which causes me to dream or to remember them more than average. So I'm in a pretty good position to write and help people understand more about their dreams and lucid dreaming.
Okay. Well, so here's the problem for me. It's not a problem. In fact, I kind of like it. I almost never remember a dream. I'll wake up knowing I was busy someplace else doing something else, but I don't remember what it was. And I just get up and go about my day. I communicate with my spirit guides in the night. And very often, because that's our deal, when I wake up in the morning, I'll remember pretty clearly what it was they told me, but only that. I don't even remember where we were when they said this. The words are just in my mind. But that's all I get out of my nights that I'm aware of. Why is it that some people dream and remember vividly and some don't?
There is really that is a really mysterious question, because everyone dreams every night. We know that for a fact, in terms of brain waves and so forth. So exactly why, I mean, you can remember. If you do spiritual practices and you keep yourself out of your comfort zone, you take an interest in dreaming, you read books on dreaming and can keep a diary and so forth, you will remember your dreams more often because you're taking an interest. You know, God, you're basically putting God on notice. Hey, I'm interested. Okay. But, you know, obviously not all dreams are remembered, even by people who dream a lot, who remember their dreams a lot. So we really don't know why all dreams are not remembered by everybody. That's a mysterious question about spirit. One issue, interesting issue with spirit guides, is that eventually, upon full enlightenment, we are everything. We are God's self, completely, totally, and absolutely. So our spirit guides are part of us.
Okay? Of course, of
and
course.
The more readily we can talk to them at will, the more readily we should take what they say with a grain of salt. It is important. It's probably very important to listen to them, but they are us at the same time. And at a certain point, we will no longer need them, which is very powerful to really understand. And but, I mean, they're wonderful. I have some myself. There are three or four guys who show up, not when I want them to ever, but they will come when they're needed. And I don't ever know when that's going to be. But eventually, you know, I will embrace them in some profound sense, and they will become part of me.
Just to finish a little discussion about spirit guides, one of the things everyone should know is that we all have at least one guide who signed up with us to help us with our life plan in this lifetime. Many of us have many more than one guide, just simply because as we get interested in something, you want to learn piano, you'll probably get someone who is a piano teacher who will be your guide in that. I write a lot of fiction, although I haven't been publishing much lately, and I, it turns out, have, I think, three fiction teachers, and I even know the name of the lead one. They're helping me do that. But the difference between my work and a lot of people's work, David, is that apparently I came in with a specific purpose in mind, and my primary guide is the person I am helping to do work that he didn't get to complete in an earlier lifetime. It's a deal he and I made.
So wow.
I finished my own work, you know, spirit work in this lifetime, what I had set out to do and to learn, and now I've given the rest of my life basically to God and to my primary guide. So it's from his point of view, he doesn't want to be in communication with me more directly. He doesn't even want me to dream. This is what I think is going on. He wants me to follow his direction and do the work he and I agreed that I would do. So that's my deal. But I know it's not everybody's deal. Most of us are here primarily working on our own life plans. So that's why I'm interested to know how people can use their dreams. And we'd like to talk about this first, I think, and then we'll get into lucid dreaming. How can people listening use their dreams to advance their work in growing spiritually in this lifetime?
The major thing is to start a dialogue with them. You know, one part of your personality, a deep part of your psyche, does understand dreams, no matter how symbolically mysterious they are. It does help to have people help you understand them verbally on the conscious level. But the major thing is to get that dialogue going. Write them down. Try to figure them out. I mean, even if it's just 10 minutes a day, 4 minutes to write down bullet points of like major scenes and things that were said. It can take you a half hour to write down a big dream. So don't, you know, people don't have that kind of time. It's 3 minutes, just bullet points. 3 minutes banging your head against them, trying to figure out what the heck they're saying, and 2 minutes expressing yourself in frustration back to God in your diary. you know, what's going on? Give me another symbol. I went through this yesterday. I don't have time for this now. Please, what's going on? I need more direction. So it's your job to express frustration back in your diary and meditation and so forth through appropriate ritual means, but mainly getting that dialogue going on a regular basis, keeping a journal, writing down what the heck these dreams are, just bullet points of major things, trying to figure them out. I mean, bang your head against the wall for a while, 5 minutes a day, or, you know, 10 minutes every Thursday or something. Figure something out, some kind of schedule, and just keep that dialogue going. That, and things, you will begin to get it. You will begin to attune better to what you're supposed to do and to understanding what they're trying to tell you. And yeah, go ahead and get symbol dictionaries and so forth, but just bang your head against the wall. Keep trying.
It doesn't have to be hard, though. It doesn't have to be painful that you're banging your head against the wall. But it is basically, as Jesus says, seek and you will find. Ask and it will be answered. Knock and the door will be opened. And that's what you're really saying. You're saying it's not going to happen unless you ask.
Right, right. And take an explicit interest in dreams. That's important. Get a book and read about them and so forth.
And if you're interested in hearing from your guides, what I tell people is, tell your guide you want to know from them. You want to hear from them, anything they want to tell you. Just say, you know, please let me remember something about our meeting during the night. Please leave it in my mind for the morning. And if you do that every night for a month, I almost can guarantee you you'll start to remember these things. They have to know you mean it, because if you're just playing with trying to learn and grow, what they're going to do is not respond to it. David, what is dream work? And what are the major schools of thought on dreams from people who are helping people do dream work?
There are 14 official different schools of thought or ways.
Oh, my goodness, 14?
Well, no, I mean, there are 14 different ways of working with dreams, three-fourths of which, four or five of which resemble each other, four or five of which resemble each other in a different way, that sort of thing. So dream work is any effort that an individual or a group makes to understand their dreams. And there are ways of going about that. You know, but maybe a major thing for people to get is that there's two levels of dream work. One is a verbal, interpretive, symbolic level. The other is a deeper, emotional, embodied level, which doesn't involve direct interpretation. You actually act out or rehearse what your dreams present to you, and they're in that way get in touch with your issues more deeply, usually more deeply than you would through verbal interpretation. Although verbal interpretation can be very powerful, because all the way that you were thinking that you were kidding yourself about something just get blown away, you know. Huh. So, but the deeper emotional dimension can be done. It's more therapeutic, more expensive, and so forth. But there are two levels of dream work. The verbal interpretive is just more available.
Okay, so if you're working with someone, right. What are you able to help them do in dream work?
I would have them write the whole thing out, send it to me ahead of time. You know, my talents are more analytical than psychic. All dream workers I know, there is a lot of intuition involved, but there is always a process of working with the dream to find out what the most important and appropriate interpretation is. So I would look at the dream ahead of time with all my symbolic studies and so forth and my own intuition and gift for understanding dreams, which I do have a little bit of. You can study and you can get better at it. I have a sort of a gift for it, yes, I seem to. So I would look at the dream ahead of time, and I would need to know a lot about the individual. You can't help someone without knowing stuff about them, especially what they're going through, what their mind is dwelling on, you know, personal issues, health issues, family issues. And the dreams always and invariably speak to the practical difficulties which the person is going through, almost always.
Practical difficulties, is that related to the spiritual aspect of those practical difficulties? Or is it more like, okay, so it's not about, in other words, how you're going to be able to pay off your mortgage. It's more about...
It can be. Because that ultimately, your spirituality is going to be enhanced if you can do that. Make your life
easier. Oh, okay.
Yeah, you make your life easier, having everything be fall into place for you materially. That will support your ability to go to retreats and so forth. So they embrace everything. And in fact, I got a dream long ago. I will never forget this. You know, about 3 months after an operation I had years and years ago, one dream I got what I call an audio dream, just a voice. It said, "A good customer always pays." So I looked back through my bills, and my God, there was a bill that I hadn't paid yet.
Oh no!
So the dreams want me to have a good credit.
Yeah, that's important, right?
Yeah, so it's amazing. It really is amazing. I didn't start having a really heavy duty dream life until I got initiation from this guru that I follow. But I emphasize, many people who never had touch with gurus that I've worked with have dreams just as amazing as frequent as mine have been. So it's spiritual seeking is what's important. You know, being curious about higher reality, about your deeper self. That's the best thing you can do for your dream work. And taking an interest in dreams. Get that book and start reading it. Put that diary next to your bed and say to yourself, I'm going to remember my dreams, but make it serious.
Now, clearly not everybody needs to do this. Who are the people that you think could be most helped by doing this dream work?
People who find themselves dreaming a lot, who just have the disposition and the karma to get a lot of stuff through dreams. I mean, dream work can help, I would say, 9 out of 10 people with their life direction, but they need to be interested. But some people, there's no question, have the particular disposition, karmically or Ayurvedically. People who are sort of unbalanced, scattered, who are kind of in their head a lot, will often dream more and be more scattered and ungrounded. Those are the people who often need direction and help with their dreams. But I emphasize, I mean, 3 out of 4 people were they to take a bigger interest in their spiritual growth and in straightening out their practical difficulties, could benefit from dream work big time. But yeah, some people are predisposed either by karma or by physiological spiritual disposition to dream a lot. And those folks need help, you know.
Okay. And so if someone is like me, maybe you haven't had my voyage, so you don't know why it is that you're not remembering dreams. In my case, it's because I don't need to, I'm getting direct communication at this point. But someone who is just sort of starting to think about spiritual things who still doesn't dream, how can you prompt dreams to happen? Just by reading that book and asking for dreams?
Aside from, again, that spiritual growth, get out of your comfort zone, buy that book, get that diary, put it next to your bed. Aside from that, health issues can be a big deal. Your poorly treated diabetes, sleep apnea, things like that, your restless leg syndrome can have a big impact on dream recall.
Because they wake you up at an odd time?
Exactly. Okay. People, you won't get good REM sleep, rapid eye movement sleep.
Yeah.
If those things are, sleep deprivation, if you have to quit a job, if you can get by with earning $3,000 less per year, therefore you can quit that part-time job, which is keeping you up at night, and you want to grow spiritually, it's worth it to get better sleep, to tune into your dreams.
Put your daytime house in order. That's going to make it easier to focus.
And also make your evening more contemplative. Okay, the last hour, get the television out of your bedroom if it's in there, you know, after 10 o'clock, you know, light reading, half hour of yoga, spiritual reading, contemplative, leading
to time. Just a little tip, if people are interested in growing spiritually, more than a decade ago, I stopped watching TV altogether. And I have to say, of all the things I've done to begin to really be able to grow spiritually and be happy, the most important thing I did by far was to get TV out of my life. I mean, all it does is stir you up whenever you watch it, and it consumes so much of your time.
More than that, it actually spoon feeds you so that you don't have to use your imagination or your thinking to do things. It just spoon feeds you stuff. You get really lazy psychically, imaginatively. And there is good stuff on there, but you really need to be very, very discriminating in terms of what you watch.
It does get in the way of your being able to become a spiritual person before you go to sleep. Yeah, exactly.
Get all your news through print. Ignore the TV as far as that goes. Yeah, you're right.
Yes. Oh, totally. Totally. The problem is with TV news is it's always the same news every night, and it's always breaking news, and it's always meant to upset you. Why would anybody want to do something that's going to upset you? Right. You're right. A couple of times a day, I'll visit three specific sites, which I've learned are very balanced, and that's it. And if there's other news, frankly, over the past 10 years, I don't know it, and I'm happier for it. So it makes sense if people are spiritually seeking to use this as one tool in their beginning to jumpstart their spiritual growth, because this is a way that your higher self, your guides, can speak with you, and you can understand what they're saying. But it isn't something; it's not a language everyone's going to understand.
Yeah, and one need to realize that dreams are the most available and evident means we all have of contact with our reality. Some people have special gifts like clairvoyance or yourself being a medium or whatever, but everybody dreams. We all can tune into them to some extent and remember them better to some extent. So, and you know, they do speak a universal language. Would you like me to try to explain that? Because, you know, I can't explain it within a couple of minutes, I think, satisfactorily.
Well, we're less than 2 minutes to the next break.
Sure.
And what we're going to have you back. You're now our dream guy, so we'll have to have you back to talk about more about dreaming. But the important thing to me is that people understand when you start to become interested in growing spiritually, you can't do it halfway. It has to, as David just said, it has to be something you put first in your life. You get your daytime life in order and you seek. When you seek and you don't stop seeking, I guarantee you, you will find. But it may not be what you're looking for. That's good. That's fine. But it's going to be something that you are supposed to learn and know, and it'll be the first step on what is a magnificent journey, and frankly, the journey that you came here to have.
Lucid dreaming is simply being aware that you're dreaming. Awareness is like it's like a dimmer switch on a light bulb, less or greater. All dreams have some level of awareness in them. That at a certain point, though, you realize, hey, I'm dreaming. Okay, and at that point, you have the choice of doing something in the dream that otherwise would not happen. You can take the dream over and do stuff on your own, depending on your level of awareness. That basically is what it is. Yeah, it's very, very important development in people's spirituality, because spirituality is about increasing awareness. So at some point, pretty much everybody at some point begins to lucid dream, at least occasionally.
All right, so what's the difference? There have been occasions when I've had dreams, and I have thought I was dreaming, but I couldn't control the dream. I mean, I couldn't say, okay, this is, it didn't feel like a waking awareness. Is that still a lucid dream?
It's really, it's a matter of precise level of awareness. And at a certain, the best measurement of true lucid dreaming to make a distinction between lucid and non-lucid is the point at which you say out loud or like you think to yourself explicitly, I'm having a dream. And I can do something in this dream. I have the choice of doing something in this dream
that's it.
Happen.
Yeah, yeah. So you have to, it has to be, okay, I'm dreaming that that I'm riding a horse across the plain. I'm going to stop this horse and give it a carrot. And then you can make that happen.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
Not always. People who have, we all have issues. Some of us have hang-ups and problems and things that we're dwelling on or pissed off at our brother for the last 20 years, right? If we have a lucid dream, those things are going to crowd our head as issues. We may not be able to control the dream. Okay, so it's possible to be very lucid and not to be able to control the dream. That's a matter of clearing yourself out spiritually, personally. But eventually, when you do get cleared up personally, if you no longer have any big issues like that, you will be able step by step to control the dream and the entire realities within the dream.
Yeah. Okay. And why should we want to do that?
Because it's the best and most available way of understanding higher reality and of improving our general overall understanding of the universe and about ourselves. Because we are ultimately just exploring a deeper aspect of our own selves. This is a remarkable, mind-blowing, radical truth about spiritual realization, is that You know, we are everything. The great paradox is that we actually share a reality. The amazing thing about this world is that we actually share a reality. But each of us is completely as God, as like 100% God's self when we finally get there. What that implies is that lucid dreaming is about exploring yourself.
So the thing then, to finish that very important thought, and I've said this repeatedly, it's very hard to get our minds around it, but in fact, there's only one of us here. We are all the same being. We're all part. We're inextricably all parts, all aspects of the same being. And since what we experience as human consciousness is in fact the exact same energy that continuously manifests this universe, our minds are part of creating the universe. I'm not going to say that our minds all together make up what God actually is. I think that's something we don't know yet. Yeah. But I will say that Mikey Morgan says, when he was asked to define God, he said, God is the unity of pure love and all that exists. So take that wherever you want to go with it.
But yeah, we are that, as far as I'm concerned. But yeah, lucid dreaming is very important because you can work on issues in lucid dreaming. So for example, being pissed off at your brother for like the last 20 years, not talking to him, that will manifest in real life as like a general overall depression about stuff, because in the dream it'll manifest as like a Tyrannosaurus Rex or a woolly mammoth or something charging straight at you. Okay.
Oh, okay.
And you have to embrace that thing to integrate it into your being. That's hard. That may be difficult, but you can do it.
Well, you know that in the dream. Okay, you're in a dream. You're aware you're dreaming. There's a woolly mammoth charging at you.
Right.
Will you be aware that that represents a problem in your daytime life? And will you know in that dream how to deal with the woolly mammoth? You better give it a carrot pretty fast, that kind of thing.
Right. That's the great dilemma and journey of lucid dreaming, increasing levels of awareness to the point where you do understand This is a psychic issue coming at me big time, and I need to embrace it. I need to have faith that when I face this big woolly mammoth, I'm not going to experience great pain and discomfort. There may well be some pain and discomfort, but not as much as you think, because it is part of you.
Okay, so I guess I would say, if you are at the stage of lucid dreaming and you're not sure how to handle whatever is happening in your where you're dreaming, you can even maybe affect it to some extent with your mind, but you're not sure how to go forward from here. If you asked me the question, what you should do, I would say you should ask your guides to help you know what you should do. Be in my dream. Let me know how to handle whatever the problem is that I'm trying to handle.
Ask for help. Absolutely. Virtually all accomplices, lucid dreamers, at one point or another, begin to encounter spirit guides who tell them, "You're going to have to listen to me, or you won't be able to go any further on this journey."
Yes. Okay.
So they get that sooner or later, a spirit guide shows up, like it or not. And some people, it's just difficult to get used to being told what to do. You know.
Yes. But when you understand that the spirit guide is the best friend you ever will have or ever will have, whatever it is who is talking to you, that is an aspect of you, but still a separate entity. One of the things that's interesting about studying the greater reality is you find out many things are simultaneous, from our limited perspective on Earth, are simultaneously true and not true. The person who is your primary guide is someone who is has lived different lifetimes, but still is a part of your own being. So, you know, it's hard for us to get our minds around that, because we have such a small aspect of our minds we can access from here with our very limited ability and limited brains, but still very important to know. So trust those guides when they show up, because they have only your higher interest at heart. If your constant prayer is that only good happen in your life, that you be protected from all things, you will be protected from all things. You are part of the most powerful entity, and really ultimately the only powerful entity that exists. So you're kind of able to do whatever you want to do. The problem is your mind is very creative. And if you aren't aligning yourself with the higher aspects, with love, you will be aligning yourself with the negative aspects. Too many people in the world are doing that now.
And so, one thing also to add to that is that if you find yourself in a lucid dream, then don't be afraid not to do something. So some people are afraid to interfere with dreams because they think it's a sacred message. And it is. It can be. But, you know, we're given our intelligence to do something with it. You know, we are intelligent and we are seeking beings, and we shouldn't not take initiative because we're afraid that this is a sacred message and I'm going to get in trouble if I do something. And some people also think that if they do something in a lucid dream, that if they go on a big journey, that, you know, they won't come back. They'll end up in a mental hospital, schizophrenic.
Oh, yeah.
No. It's amazing. You know, I used to think that I had big reservations about applying dream work to people with mental issues. But it turns out that if dream work is well done, that it helps people with things like schizophrenia, psychosis, multiple personality. It actually helps. It does help individuals straighten those things out. It does.
Really?
Help. Yeah.
Okay. So that's good to know too. But so ultimately, the important thing for everyone to understand is that consciousness exists in a range of vibrations. The highest is perfect love, as Mikey said, the unity of pure love and all that exists. The lowest, though, which we can choose, is fear. If you are afraid of anything, the only course for you to take is to turn toward love. Because when you have raised your vibration high enough to be living in love, you will never fear anything again in your life. And I can assure you of that, because that's what I've done with my life, and I'm still finding it thrilling. But it came late in life. I hope it comes earlier in life for you. I'm sorry, yeah. David. What did you say?
Well, right. And turning toward love means embracing the things which cause you fear. So in your dreams, in your lucid dreams, you won't be able to control them completely, precisely because the dreamscape, he who creates a dream to begin with, is interested in your personal growth and will be challenging you. So in lucid dreams, sooner or later, in dreams, you know, lucid dream, you will encounter things which you have to embrace. And those things represent your fears. Those things represent your limitations. And you can embrace them. You can integrate them. That's the great challenge of the journey involved in lucid dreaming. Again, it's just some people have the aptitude and spiritual disposition to do it a lot. But we all can benefit to some extent from trying to do it.
I have known people who got so into lucid dreaming, they look forward to going to bed at night. They prepared, they did candles, they did all kinds of things. And they insisted to me that what they did at night was almost more fun and more important than what they did in the daytime. Okay. And I didn't go any further than that. I thought it was amazing.
There are people, strange. No, I didn't either. It isn't my disposition or fate to go that far into it. But I can tell you, there are people who follow, well, what's called esoteric traditions.
My concern is whether lucid dreaming has anything to do with astral travel. What's the connection? Is there one?
Well, the traditional difference between the two is that astral travel involves you never go to sleep. You put yourself into a trance, you know, leave your body, float around, see the cord that connects you to your body and all that sort of thing. And then you go back into your body and boom, you've done it. Dreaming, lucid or otherwise, involves going to sleep first. Okay. Now, having said that, there are people who do what's called yoga nidra. Yoga nidra involves basically trying to be aware as you fall asleep, maintaining awareness as you fall asleep. And very few people, you know, you have to get pretty far spiritually to do this, but some people can do it. And when you fall asleep, maintaining awareness, the idea is that you can work on your issues without having to dream. Or dream unconsciously, but you can also, having fallen asleep without falling asleep, you then can start lucid dreaming if you'd like to, and you can work on your issues in your lucid dreaming.
All right, you've just boggled my mind. So you're saying
that there are people.
Your body falls asleep, but right. Your mind does not.
Certain people can do that. Yes, that's true.
Wow.
But otherwise, the difference is the astral projection, you don't go to sleep. Dreams, lucid dreaming, you do. You have to go to sleep first. Okay. But some people can make that transition without losing consciousness and can then lucid dream to their heart's content. and do whatever they want to do, work on their issues, or, you know, there are people who follow esoteric traditions where, I mean, a small number of people within these groups go to other higher planets, other dimensions, talk to the natives there, etc. I do think there are higher dimensions, and I do think there are other planets in those dimensions.
Yes.
But it's not my interest or disposition to want to see them. There needs to be a real sense of adventure, of seeking when you do this. You know, some people have that interest and that disposition to do it within these esoteric traditions.
Okay, so is there a reason why someone should want to do this? I mean, this is something, I guess, which is rare, relatively rare. What's the advantage for someone to put in the energy and effort to learn to do that?
Lucid dreaming itself is not rare. Pretty much everybody will have at least some lucid dreams in their lifetime.
But this other fancy kind of dreaming where you stay awake and your body sleeps.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, there are more and more people who are getting to more and more advanced levels of mystical spirituality. And as that happens, I mean, there are still a relatively small number of people who can do that, but there are more and more all the time. And that's the encouraging thing. So,
but why would I want to? Why would I want to devote the energy to that?
In order to work on your issues and your problems, in order to work on your spirituality more consciously. Okay, if you haven't cleared up some issues and there are problems and the karmas that you have yet to resolve, you can do that in your lucid dreams by consciously calling them up, and they challenge you and you interact with them, you learn things from each other, and then you embrace and integrate them into your own being.
So it's like this is going on in your mind while your body sleeps, and you're very aware that this is going on in your mind and is a dream experience, but you can control it, and you've really never lost awareness.
That's correct. And most people kind of fall asleep first. They have a lucid dream or a regular dream. And I really can't emphasize this point strongly enough. You can make spiritual progress. You can work on your issues. You can get through the negative stuff. You can clear that stuff. You can clear that stuff out of your system through dream spirituality. Lucid dreaming is better than ordinary dreaming in that regard.
Okay, well, I can see that would be true for sure, because that is why
we want to do it, to answer your question.
Yeah, because it can help you in your daytime life as you grow spiritually. It can help you work out issues that happen in your daytime life. You may not even recognize that there are issues or blocks to your ability to grow, but in your lucid dreams, then, you're saying that you can much more easily work on all of this because you're controlling an outside of artificial daytime life.
Right, right. And you can't control it completely. That's the key. They will challenge you with stuff.
Oh, okay.
You can rest assured those are the things that you need to work on.
Yeah, if you had a real woolly mammoth charging at you, it would be a lot harder for you to risk reaching for a carrot. But in your lucid dream, your life on Earth remains safe. So you can risk that and grow, is what you're really saying.
Right.
Because ultimately we're always safe. We know that for sure. But it's a little harder in your daytime life to take
Most lucid dreams, there isn't – right now you and I, waking life, have 100% awareness. Most good, relatively aware lucid dreams, we're only at 90-95% awareness, 85% awareness. So when that woolly mammoth charges at us, we don't have quite the discrimination to do what we would otherwise do. But if you have 99% awareness in a lucid dream, you know enough to embrace that woolly mammoth and to realize that it represents some issue in your life.
Okay, that's perfect. Now, David's website is World Spirituality, one word, worldspirituality.com.
That's the email. That's the email. The website is David Lowe, L-O-W, no E, David Lowe, MSPhD.com.
Okay, that's a harder one. Go to World Spirituality if you can't remember that. But what is it called? David, L-O-W?
MS, Masters of Science, Doctor of Philosophy, those degrees. David Lowe. MSPhD.com.
Okay, all right. That's great. If people want to reach you, though, they can just go to david@worldspirituality.com, send you an email?
Yep.
Okay, perfect. So we're going to be talking with David again about dreams, because I've come to realize this is another area I really need to help you to grow in. So meanwhile, consider yourself hugged, David. This has been a lot of fun, and I have learned a lot myself. And we'll talk to you soon.
You're the greatest, Roberta. Thanks again. Bye-bye. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye. This has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes, and I'm really glad you could be with us today. I'm trying to help you grow spiritually, because that's the reason. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you think about yourself. The reason you're here is to grow spiritually. Every challenge in your life is meant to be an assist in helping you grow. So this is what we're going to be primarily focusing on, I think, for a while. It interests me very much. Please never forget that you are a powerful, eternal being. You never began, you never will end. And when you really get that, everything in your life is going to be better. Next week, we're going to be talking with Serena Baptista. She is a lovely, lovely woman. She's a medium. I met her in Colorado in March, and she is a literal ball of energy and light. She lost her 7-year-old son in March of 2007, and she learned almost at once that little TJ did not actually die. Of course, we know he would not die, but he immediately came into her life to help her develop as a medium, explain about why he had gone and why it was important, and he has helped her learn how to train other mediums, and that's something she does now with joy. She's written 3 books, the last of which, the most recent of which, is My View from Heaven, and she wrote that with TJ. You're going to love the wonderful energy of Serena, and she is working now with her spiritually advanced son to really help spread the truth, as we all are, of human survival to all the world. Please just join us next week. And this week, of course, our guest has been David Lowe. He's here for the 3rd time. I keep forgetting about David, but David is just a fount of information about a number of things that I don't know about. So we're going to have him back again. His book is Universal Spiritual Philosophy and Practice, an informal textbook for discerning seekers. I talked to him about it 2 years ago. I did love his book. So if you'd like to kind of get an understanding about world spirituality, you could do much worse than to just read his book. One of the wonderful things about being alive today, because we've always been coming here to grow spiritually, but today there are so many different ways, like his book, like his work, like the other people I bring to you, that our spirit guides can help us to better tune ourselves spiritually and make this our last lifetime. Just remember, there are as many ways to grow spiritually almost as there are people, and your way is one you'll need to seek out for yourself. I'm trying to make that easier for you. As you know, I have many books. You can find them in bookstores and also primarily, of course, on Amazon.com, because bookstores are getting smaller every day. But if you want to talk about any of my books, if you want to talk about anything at all, you can always contact me through robertagrimes.com. I do answer emails. I used to say within a day. Now I'll say I try to do it within a week, but I will get back to you. But just please make sure you give me your correct email address. If you don't hear from me within more than a week, you know that you didn't give me your right address. Just send another email and I will get back to you. As you know, you can find past episodes of Seek Reality on webtalkradio.net, iTunes, through the app, which is available for free in the iTunes store. And eventually, after a year, they all show up again with my wonderful friends at Dream Vision 7 Radio. Meanwhile, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Please enjoy and make the most of this coming week in our one reality, knowing that you are a powerful, eternal being, and you in particular are infinitely loved.
You've been listening to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Roberta blogs and answers questions at robertagrimes.com. Join us every week as we explore what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about the one reality we all share. Knowing the truth changes everything.